Okay. So thank you all for being here. My name is Jacqueline Espana. I have a background in social work and just recently got my master's in public health. And I used to work with survivors of torture, and I also worked with a lot of youth in a few different African countries. And I became exposed to a lot of people's experiences of trauma and sexual violence. And when I came back home to Oakland, I learned about this issue, and it was the focus of my my work throughout my master's program. Okay, so I have no relationships to disclose. So what I did is, as I explored CSEC within the context of Oakland to develop a baseline of understanding and make recommendations for policymakers, program practitioners, and the general public on both prevention and aftercare services. And I want to be really clear that my intention is never to pathologize survivors or to demonize exploiters, but to look at the many complex systems that perpetuate CSEC. And I also want to acknowledge that although I am focused on those who are under 18, you know, what you're saying about adults is really resonating with my work as well. We need to be looking at the whole person. Okay, so first of all, what is CSEC? You probably have figured it out by now, so I'll just be brief. But it's the commercial sexual exploitation of children. It's a form of domestic human trafficking, and it's distinguished from other forms of child sexual abuse by the commercial gain by one or more parties. It's essentially rape and sexual assault of a minor. It's a criminal practice, and it's a violation of human rights and the rights of the child who, by legal definition, is under 18. So why Oakland? On a personal note, like I said, it's where I live, and I can visibly see CSEC close to my neighborhood, and I've come into contact with many survivors. Oakland is considered a hub for child trafficking. It's been on the FBI's high-intensity prostitution list since 2003, and most likely the prevalence has only increased since then. Local law enforcement estimate that 100 children are sold every night in Oakland for sex. And 46% of all human trafficking cases in California were tried in our county, in Alameda County, so there's a lot of activity in our courts. On a positive note, there's been really a lot of powerful responses since the early 90s in Oakland from community-based organizations, so I can feel that there's momentum growing. So what I did is I conducted a literature review of both peer-reviewed and journalistic literature, and I found that there's very limited data, like we're all hearing, particularly on a local level. So I looked at three samples of CSEC survivors from community-based organizations, West Coast Children's Center, MISSI, and the Heat Watch Safety Net Program. And the three samples were all pretty small, but they ranged from 100 to 300 survivors, and the data was collected between 2006 up through last April. I also interviewed six content experts who were practitioners, program managers, researchers, and survivors, all working with CSEC. And I gained a lot of informal knowledge by participating in community events. So it's really important when sharing any data on this population to acknowledge that these are only the survivors who had contact with either juvenile justice or with service agencies, so this isn't representative of all CSEC out there. And we're also missing two really big parts of the picture, you know, demographic information on those who buy sex and those who are facilitating the selling of a minor. So who are CSEC in Oakland? What do we know? We definitely know that boys are being exploited. That's what I'm hearing, you know, from people who know. But in the data, we see in the three samples, 98 to 100% of the samples are female. The age range of the three samples was 10 years old to 24 years old, and this is the HeatWatch sample, which is the largest and most recent sample, and the highest concentration at the time of the study was 16 to 18 years old. Also, again, looking at the HeatWatch sample, we can see that most survivors are children of color. In Alameda County, we have 13% African American youth, but you can see in this sample, there's 64% in the CSEC sample, so there's a gross over-representation. So there were five main themes that emerged from the data on the complex dynamics, social determinants, and health indicators connected to the systems around CSEC. And I use the social ecological model, which is represented by the intrapersonal, interpersonal, community, and institutional levels. So I think we've all used the same model. It's a great model. I started by looking at the early childhood trauma. There's a really clear link between the non-commercial sexual abuse of a child and their later increased vulnerability to CSEC. The vast majority of all three samples experienced neglect, sexual, emotional, or physical abuse. 75% of West Coast children's sample reported child abuse or neglect in the form of multiple episodes of family trauma and disruptions. They actually broke down the type of trauma that was experienced. You could see that about half experienced abandonment by caregivers, lack of supervision, and foster placement disruptions. While under a quarter were involved with their caregivers' criminal activities, and in some cases, their caregivers' prostitution activities. I also want to point out, in Heat Watch's sample, 83% of their survivors had run away at one time. And also, it's very important to me to address, there is limited research on exploiters. But the research that is out there acknowledges, has found that exploiters also experience early childhood traumatic experiences. So this study is not from Oakland, it's from DePaul, but I thought it was really interesting, and it came up in my interviews. And it's a study on 25 former pimps, seven of whom were female, and it showed that 88% were victims of childhood physical abuse and violence, and 76% were specifically victims of child sexual abuse. And so this just, goes to show that our focus must go beyond those who are directly exploited and look at the risk factors for becoming exploited as well as an exploiter. And I don't think we're going to win this fight unless we start doing that. So next I looked at the role of insecure attachment and Stockholm syndrome on the interpersonal level of the social ecological model. The presence of early childhood trauma is associated with insecure attachment, which is where there's an absence of positive bonds with a caretaker at an early age. And this lack of a secure base can later fuel the dynamic of exploiters coercing CSEC into believing that they found security and love that they're lacking. We've heard many stories about the courtship phase that a boyfriend pimp will facilitate, they can make youth feel vulnerable. Youth feel loved, and in some cases, even create a family dynamic, have family dinners, and those sorts of things, which has a really powerful impact on a dependent child. And Stockholm syndrome is another finding that came up a lot, and it's a psychological phenomenon also called trauma bonding, where a victim identifies with their exploiter as a coping mechanism to increase safety and decrease their pain during and long after victimization. And this phenomenon is really important for all parties who are involved to understand, because it's relevant to the process of becoming exploited, but also the dynamics for recovery and trying to leave an exploitative situation. It's really well understood in intimate partner violence research that it takes an average of 7 attempts to leave in an abusive situation. But this is really similar, although we don't have the statistic, it's very similar for CSEC survivors. And we know that in the cycle of trauma and recovery, safety, remembering, and healing, that feeling the impact of the trauma happens once safety is found, so once a child may have been able to be placed somewhere. Someone I interviewed put it, if I'm not a victim of horrible things, then I don't feel horrible. So if, people think they're choosing to go back to an exploiter, but they're actually choosing to protect themselves psychologically. So the Stockholm syndrome and insecure attachment are really important in understanding and deconstructing the concept of choice. And even for survivors themselves, it can take them years to see themselves as having been exploited. So next, I looked out to the community level. And we know that the context of community where CSEC is occurring is really, really important. Oakland has high rates of poverty and unemployment, which is strongly correlated with community violence and the availability of substances. In 2010, 32.7% of Oakland Unified School District's population were living below the poverty line, and the youth unemployment rate of youth between 16 and 19 was 28.1%. In addition, close proximity to a visible sex trade in Oakland makes youth particularly vulnerable and normalizes human trafficking through street culture. I also learned, it was really interesting, I learned from my interviews about the unique significance of multi-generational collective historical trauma in Oakland, and in some cases, multi-generational exploitation. And this was really particular in Oakland. A lot of our survivors are actually from Oakland, or local. We're a less transient population than in some other cities. And these strong ties to Oakland itself can impact recovery. You know, imagine trying to recover in the city where you grew up, and you know where you were first vulnerable, and maybe even seeing the corner where you were forced to sell yourself. Or in some cases, an exploiter may actually know the family of the child. Okay, so next I moved out to looking at the larger system of stigmatization, beliefs, and language. So broadly, we know that the language that we use and the way we think about this issue is very powerful and actually affects the reality of CSEC. There's a lot of unproductive terminology, like, you know, we all hear child prostitution, which makes this sound like a victimless crime versus a community problem where the child is the victim. And as a society overall, I think we really need to think about the way that we make victims of sexual assault feel like it's their fault. And for example, you know, what you're wearing the night of your rape may have warranted your assault. I found in my research that CSEC's credibility as a victim will be doubted while criminalization is the norm, partly due to the challenge posed by the trifecta of sexuality, race, and class. Oh, I forgot. Okay. Also, looking at the glorification of pimping and exploitation. We do know that not all children have a third-party exploiter, and in some cases, children are exploited by their families. However, I have learned that pimps are a really big part of the picture in Oakland, and the pimp paradigm is especially intense in the Bay Area. Part of this issue is that we're fed racialized and hyper-masculine messages that say exploiting people is a way to access power and wealth, which some people may otherwise be excluded from. And also, for looking at youth, we know that they're told that being exploited is glamorous, and it gives you value, and this is supported by song lyrics, documentaries about pimps, and popular media. I don't know if any of you have seen Rihanna's latest music video, but it's basically glorifying strip clubs. Okay, so moving out to looking at the institutional level, the child protective systems. I learned that the child protection systems are not necessarily equipped to recognize, prevent, or respond to exploitation. We can see this from the data in HeatWatch's sample that I looked at. 96% of the youth were currently in or had a history in foster care, juvenile detention, or probation. And although law enforcement in Oakland have made major changes in the way that they handle CSEC, and because of Prop 35, they have 2 hours of mandated training on CSEC, and they do make more referrals directly to community-based organizations, partially due to lack of resources, their overwhelming response is still to lock up the kids and to further traumatize them and tell them that they're a danger to society. And CSEC are also re-traumatized in court when they're asked to testify without protection. So there's a lot of implications for how the general public, practitioners, and policymakers can sensitively and effectively respond to CSEC. We need to be reevaluating our responses to the first instances of childhood trauma. Overall, we need more funding in our child welfare systems and all systems connected to children in general. I know that's broad, but it's true. Considering the strong links between CSEC and those symptoms, we need a lot of training and support for all people with authority over children. So that includes foster parents, CBOs, schools, clinics. Specifically on trauma-informed identification and response strategies and how to interface with CSEC, but really also prevention needs to be a big part of the piece of the training that's provided. Skipping a little bit. So I think that we should be coordinating Oakland-specific interventions for screening, response, and data sharing. There needs to be comprehensive, coordinated, cross-system community responses. And specifically within a community approach, there's a lot of potential to address the historical trauma that I mentioned earlier by providing economic and educational advancement opportunities for youth to decrease the risk of involvement and exploitation. There also definitely needs to be more safe, comprehensive, and emergency and transitional placements outside of juvenile hall. Sometimes if children are able to access those types of placements, they're often plopped right back into the community where they were first vulnerable. So we really need to be providing more long-term support. I think there's a lot of potential for school-based preventative measures, and specifically for all youth, for young boys and girls, and to target specific at-risk youth and specific populations, with the understanding that some of the youth that practitioners are going out to may actually be experiencing complex generational trauma, so to approach these kind of interventions with cultural humility and sensitivity and resources to provide to children. I also think that we are all responsible for supporting a cultural shift around CSEC, so we're all responsible for using accurate language, for educating our friends, for educating people that we hear talking about body and body image in ways that are harmful. And throughout all of these recommendations, we need to be supporting CSEC survivor leadership and input. So thank you very much.